several bills before the legislature. Could be a long day. The vice chair of the Transportation Committee is State Senator Len Susio. We had him in studio not too long ago debating the co-chair, Tony Guerra, Representative Guerra, about tolls in Connecticut. And that's part of the topic today with this proposal to create a Connecticut Transportation Authority. That said, we welcome the senator to the program. Senator Susio, good morning.
Good morning. It's great to speak to you again today, Dan.
Well, explain to us, because I guess there's two bills that involve this creation of a Connecticut Transportation Authority, what that would mean.
What it means is it's going to exonerate politicians for any responsibility for raising gas taxes, installing tolls, raising toll fees, etc. It's the dream of every politician. It's a means of raising revenue or taxes and not getting blamed for it. And it's a bad idea, but it's an idea that's appealing to people who don't want to take responsibility for their actions. And we'll see what happens if it even comes up for a vote, but the legislature is desperate for more money. Nobody wants to take responsibility or get blamed for taxes or tolls, so they're looking for a new way of doing it and not getting the blame for it. It's bad politics. It is bad policy.
Senator, this is not a novel idea. The Democrats have proposed this in the past. Governor Malloy has proposed the Transportation Authority in the past, so they're not giving up on this, are they?
No, they don't get, well, again, it's desperation time at the Capitol. We're already in a deficit for the current budget. And of course, next year's forecasted deficit is gargantuan. It's unbelievably big. It's approaching $5 billion and seems to be growing. So they're scared not only of what we face today, they know we're facing a financial Armageddon next year, and they're preparing for it. They're setting the stage for tolls, taxes, fee increases, you name it, anything that you that walks or moves or you can buy, they're going to try to tax.
But you know, Senator, the situation is so desperate, they could propose even more taxes than we have now. It's still not going to cover a $5 billion deficit.
Absolutely not. And as you and I have said before, Dan, there's no way to get around this thing without bringing the CBAC deal back to the table. Because it's just unsustainable. It's a deal that the state cannot possibly honor given its financial condition. So why continue on with the charade pretending that we can honor it? We're not only doing taxpayers a disservice, we're doing the state employees a disservice too. We're doing them no favor pretending that this deal can be fulfilled by the state of Connecticut, and yet they're relying on it for their retirement security. It's a joke on not only on the citizens of Connecticut, it's a very bad joke being played on state employees, and it's time that everyone own up to the reality, the ugly reality of the situation, and face it rather than whistling past the graveyard.
But you know, Senator, part of the problem in that area is not only does the CBAC deal have to be reopened, what do you do with those who have already retired, worked for the state of Connecticut, and you see a budget that earmarks, what, something like $2.5 billion just to underwrite the cost of those pensions? How do you live up to that commitment?
That's a difficult thing, Dan, and I think things like, for example, the health care benefits are something that are reasonable and fair to talk about. Not necessarily changing them, but changing the contribution rate, for example. That's something that I think is fair game and should potentially be discussed. The truth is, it's such a disaster, it's such a catastrophe that we have to face this, and we're all in this together. So the state employees, whether they're active employees or retired employees, all have to face the consequences of negligence, of underfunding for years. And I'm not blaming them for that, that's for sure, and I feel bad about that. But the reality is that we can't afford to live up to the obligations. We don't have the financial resources. The state's gross product is going backwards. We've actually lost value in our economy in the last 10 years. And so we've got a shrinking economy. We've got taxpayers, especially the wealthy ones, fleeing the state of Connecticut. It's a complete disaster. And the only way to deal with this is we've got to find cuts in spending. Raising taxes yet again after two record-breaking tax increases in the Malloy administration. And by the way, even the budget that passed a few months ago had tax and fee increases in it. I looked at it and had, by my count, there were 17 different tax and fee hikes totaling about $450 million in the budget that was passed only back in November, and that's out of whack already. So the longer we postpone this, the more painful it's going to be, and the sooner we face reality, the more realistic our solution will be, and the quicker we'll be able to deal with it. But just continuing to pretend that we can conduct business as usual and ignore the financial reality is no longer viable. And sometime, I believe, either this year or next year, at the latest next year, the whole thing is going to collapse, and it's going to have to be faced. The only reason why it might not collapse this year is a lot of people don't want to do anything that might be unpopular before the elections. It is an election year, and so a lot of people will try to delay this beyond the elections and then face the music next year. But again, I'm a believer that you've got to be honest with the people, both the taxpayers and the state employees. We're not doing them any favor by pretending we can somehow get around this thing. It's not business as usual. It's time to grow up and face reality.
Okay, so a couple of things that you touched on. First, are you saying that we could perhaps, as a state, reopen the medical benefit contribution that the state makes to those retirees?
I think that's a possibility. I think anything associated with the CBAC agreement has to be on the table, because it's not like we just need a few hundred million dollars. We are looking at billions of dollars of deficits, as far as the eye can see, too, Dan. It's not like, oh, we can get through the next year or two and then everything straightens itself out. No, it's not possible. So I think even, you know, those things have, everything's got to be on the table so that the burden, if you will, can be shared among as many people as possible, thereby minimizing the burden as much as possible, too. If we say, oh, this is off limits here, and that group's off limits there, that means whoever's left is going to have a greater burden. And the only real way to deal with this, and the only fair way to deal with it, is spread it out over as many people as possible so that the burden is minimized as much as we can realistically do.
And the other thing you stated, the whole thing is going to collapse. What's the whole thing?
The budget itself. There's no way. I mean, you know, next year when we come in, whoever's in the legislature next year, at this point in time, we're staring at, the last numbers I saw were approaching $5 billion for the next biennium. That's in light of the fact that we had two record-breaking tax increases under Malloy, and yet another big tax, a reasonably big tax increase last year. The fact that we're looking at a bigger deficit next year than when he came in 8 years ago is mind-boggling. It's stunning and it's astounding. There ought to tell people that another tax increase is not realistic. It's not going to do. If anything, it's going to drive the nail in the coffin, because we know. The demographic data are clearly in. The data from the IRS is clearly in. It shows out-migration of wealthier people and in-migration of poorer people to our state, which means there's fewer people who are less capable of bearing the tax burden, and we're chasing the wealthy money out of the state, and we're welcoming in people who are less capable of bearing the tax burden. It's a recipe for complete disaster.
And here's the thing, Senator. You can look for every revenue stream in the book. This state could add every revenue stream between now and next year. In other words, they could add tolls. They could legalize betting on everything that moves, including tiddlywinks games. They could legalize pot. And even if you legalized all that and brought in all the revenue, you wouldn't come here anywhere near putting a dent into that projected $5 billion deficit.
You're right. I mean, if we repeated what Governor Malloy did, that record-breaking tax increase a few years ago, it's still not enough. And that's, so we're talking about a third record-breaking tax increase wouldn't do it. It's scary bad. It really is. We will survive it, Dan, because we're a state, and we have no choice. It's not like we can close up shop and go home. We're going to survive it, but getting through it is going to be extremely difficult. And the first thing is to face reality and not pretend that it's business as usual. The governor of the state of Connecticut, in my opinion, should declare a financial state of emergency. This is a disaster. It's not a natural disaster. It's a man-made budget disaster, but it's a disaster nonetheless. and it's beyond anything we've ever experienced historically, and it's got to be recognized for what it is, an emergency situation that's going to require everything else to be dropped, really. Until we get our financial house in order, everything else should be secondary.
By the way, I agree. And here you've got the Education Committee today debating a bill about whether we should be teaching climate change in school and all of this other esoteric stuff. Meanwhile, the state is dangling by a thread financially.
Yes, it's all kind of a waste of time until we get our financial house in order. You can't continue business as usual because we are not in normal times now. We are in extraordinary times from a financial point of view. And, you go to football games, sometimes you see the people holding up signs, the end is near or something like that. Well, we're approaching a financial Armageddon of sorts, basically. And pretending that things are normal or quasi-normal is really totally doing everybody a disservice. And I just think the governor on down, everybody, all the leadership in the legislature should say, hey, let's make getting our financial house in order the only thing that we've got to focus on right now. And until we get that focused on, most of the things, except for a real emergency situation, should be set aside.
Now, from a governmental perspective, can a governor actually declare a financial state of emergency? Is it something symbolic, or does it set certain things in motion?
No, well, you can't, there's certain ways you can, for example, in the constitutional spending cap, you could declare that, a certain situation exists and you could circumvent the spending cap. I'm not advocating that, that's for sure. But what I'm saying is the governor's got to set the tone for the legislature as well as for the body politic. Everybody's got to realize how bad the situation is. Unless and until the public understands and comprehends how calamitous the situation is, people won't appreciate it, and the governor's got to set the tone right on from the top on down. He's got to show by his example and by his words how serious the situation is. And until he does, I don't know if the public fully appreciates it, and the public won't be aware of it until it does collapse. And I don't think it can be sustained until next year or just early into next year, maybe at the latest, without dramatic change. And of course, we're going to have an election in the intervening period of time. We're going to have a new governor for sure, whoever that may be, Democrat, Republican, or independent even potentially. And that person's going to inherit one gigantic mess. And the best thing we could do is lay the groundwork for whoever that's going to be now, rather than waiting for them to come in, because every day we're slipping deeper into the black hole.
Wow. Well, Senator, we'll continue to follow this. Of course, the big hearing today, several bills before the Transportation Committee, but we'll continue to follow the overall picture, and that is extremely significant. As always, thanks for spending some time with us this morning. We'll talk again down the road.
Dan, it's always a joy to speak with you. Have a great day.
Thank you. Take care. The one thing you have to understand about Senator Susio, he knows finances and the finances of this state inside and out. That's his career. And he predicted this a long time ago, and he was snickered at by the governor's budget chief, Benjamin Barnes. I'll never forget when Senator Susio, this was his first time in the Senate, was questioning Benjamin Barnes then about the budget. And Barnes said, no problem, no worries. No, don't worry, Senator. Couldn't answer the questions that Senator Susio was bringing up, but kept saying, don't worry, don't worry. And now you heard Senator Susio. The governor should be declaring a financial emergency. That's how bad our situation is. And he's not exaggerating. 888-